Thank you, Mr. Lemoy. Good afternoon, brethren. The title of the sermonette today is called The Red Heifer Sacrifice and Its Prophetic Significance. The Red Heifer Sacrifice in biblical times foreshadowed the death of Jesus Christ. The red heifer was the rarest of all sacrifices, and it was sacrificed completely whole outside the camp. This ceremony has spiritual significance for us today. In the book of Leviticus, if you guys read through there, through the sacrificial laws and the rituals, during the Old Testament times, the Levitical priesthood would perform animal sacrifices, and some of the sin sacrifices had to be done outside the camp in direct view of God in the temple. And during that time when they had the tabernacle set up, outside the camp was 3,000 feet or more because it had to be in a clean place. And I have a picture here. You might be able to see it, but that's a picture of a red heifer right there. And then on this side, the temple sat back over here across the Kidron Valley, and they had this three-tier bridge here that they built. And the reason they built that bridge is there was a lot of dead bones and bodies in that area, and you couldn't walk over anything unclean. It had to be pure clean. And then this red heifer laid out here, and he had to look directly into the temple facing God the Father. So in Hebrews 9:13-4, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are defiled sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, to a far greater degree the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, shall purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now we are going to turn to Numbers 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, on which the yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of the meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst. And now we're going to break down these symbols here, brethren. The reason the heifer was red is it had to be perfect. It could not even have two white hairs, and it would be disqualified, and no blemish or yoke could come upon it. And the red color pictured sin and that blood atones for sin. And also, Christ was going to be the ultimate sacrifice to cover all of mankind's sins once and for all. And then the next question is, why was it a heifer? Well, according to Jewish tradition, the femaleness of the sacrifice pictured the Messiah as a perfectly submissive sacrifice, just like a wife, a female, is submissive to her husband and to the family and the household needs of the home. He was totally submissive to his father in this program that they were running, and also he was totally submissive that he was going to be the ultimate sacrifice that would cover the sins of the world. Now, where was the red heifer slain? It was outside the camp. The priest would slay the red heifer in the presence of God, and its head had to be facing directly towards that temple. So just like I was showing you earlier, his head here is looking directly into the temple there. And then the priest would cut its throat with his right hand, and he would catch the blood in his left hand. Now, if you notice back in Leviticus, brethren, a lot of those blood sacrifices were caught in a vessel, but this one was caught in the hand, and it represented that by the hand of mankind, they were going to put Christ to death, and by his hand, God was going to give us eternal life. Then the priest would dip his finger in that blood seven times, and he would sprinkle it towards the tabernacle of the congregation. Seven times he would wave his finger towards that. And the reason that he did that is because it was by his hand, his blood, that it would cover the sins from Adam through every day of the creation week, all the way through the 7,000 year plan of God, that blood was going to cover the sins of mankind. And then the heifer was burned in his presence. And then the priest would take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet wool and throw it into the burning heifer. Now, a lot of people might think, well, what kind of ritual is this? Could you imagine going out in the woods and walking upon something like this? You'd be probably wanting to run out of there real quick, thinking you might even become part of that ritual. But brethren, everything has specific meaning. The cedar wood is something that's highly valued. Who had a more highly valued life than our elder brother Jesus Christ? And also, cedar wood is aromatic fragrance. If anyone has ever smelled cedar wood, it puts off a wonderful smell, and Christ was our sweet aroma sacrifice. And then cedar wood is decay resistant. Who has eternal existence, brethren, but our elder brother Jesus Christ? And who also will carry us to eternal existence, our elder brother Jesus Christ? And then the hyssop, it's a cleansing herb. In Psalm 51:7, David said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The hyssop represented that Christ was pure from the very beginning, and that he, our elder brother Jesus Christ, would be washing us with hyssop by the Holy Spirit, by the living waters, by the Word of God. And then that scarlet wool was dipped in red dye. Now in Isaiah 1:18, you can reference this, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." So, brethren, where does wool come from? It comes from a lamb. In John 1:29, it says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" When Christ was being crucified, brethren, what did the Romans put on him? A scarlet robe, a red crimson robe, picturing that his red crimson blood would cover the sins of the world. When those Romans put that on his shoulders, it showed that he was going to carry the sins of the world through his sacrifice and cover the sins for all mankind. And then after they got done crucifying with the whip, with the shrapnel in there that ripped his skin more than any other man, where did they lead him? They led him to the Mount of Olives outside the camp, just like the red heifer. Now, a lot of people might think that the Mount of Olives is a big, tall mountain. It's not. It's a range of hills out in that area. And Christ spent a lot of time there with his disciples. So then they hung him on a cedar beam facing the temple, looking directly into the temple, just like that red heifer was. And in Matthew 24:46, you can reference this. It says, "Christ cried with a loud voice, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Christ realized at that moment that God the Father had turned his head away from him. And the reason he did that is at that moment, he was the sin bearer for all of mankind. All the sins were falling on his shoulders at that moment. He could not have any help. And he was crimson red. He was blood from head to toe. If any of you have ever seen the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, that's probably pretty close to what our elder brother looked like. He truly was the blood sacrifice for all of mankind. And then in verse 49, it says, "Then another took a spear and thrust it into his side, and out came water and blood. The rest of his blood was poured right out there on the Mount of Olives." And in verse 50, "He cried with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." And then in verse 51, it says, "The veil of the temple was ripped from two and two from top to bottom." So the question is, brethren, why did that temple curtain rip? Is because sin came into the world through Adam that closed off the tree of life. Our second Adam, Jesus Christ, was now the tree of life, that was opened once again, when that temple curtain ripped, it pictured that we now had access back to the Father by the sacrifice, his blood being poured out there. Now, there's one more symbol from the red heifer we want to take a look at. And you don't have to turn there, but it's Numbers 19:9. And it was the ashes of the heifer. So what they would do, they would crush those ashes down real fine. And they had this little shelf that formed out, looked like a little hewn out tomb. And they would put those ashes in that little shelf. And then they laid them outside the camp in a clean place. In a newly hewn out tomb, that's where the ashes were. So brethren, where was Christ's body laid? In a newly hewn out tomb on the Mount of Olives outside the camp. And in verse 17, on the third day, they took the ashes and water and mixed them together. Now you might think, well, that's kind of a strange thing to do. But brethren, literally every detail has specific meaning what Christ did for us. And then in verse 18, it says, a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone or one killed or one dead or a grave. And then in verse 19 it says, and a clean person shall sprinkle on the unclean on the third day, and then on the seventh day they were declared clean. You might think, well, that sounds a little strange too. But remember, brethren, the ashes were put in the tomb in a clean place, and Christ was put in the tomb in a clean place. And then after 3 days, Christ was raised from the tomb, just like the ashes were in the tomb 3 days and mixed with the water. From that point forward, Christ could start cleaning up mankind all the way through the rest of the creation week to the 7,000-year plan of God. And then what that ashes represented is it represented the fullness of the sacrifice of Christ. Those ashes left over his body, and then when they mixed it with the water, which was the living waters, which represents the Holy Spirit, and the hyssop, it showed that that clean person, after 3 days, could start cleaning up mankind. So after Christ was raised, he was seen wearing a white robe. You remember when Mary saw him and he told her, no, you can't touch me, I haven't ascended to my Father yet? When you go into the presence of the Father, you have to have a white robe. You cannot stand before God the Father in an unclean garment. So Christ went from wearing a scarlet crimson robe to wearing a white robe, a prophetic picture showing us how we'll go from unclean to clean. The water in the ashes represents the Holy Spirit, the living waters. In John 7, 38-39, it says, the one who believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And in verse 39, he spoke concerning the Spirit. It is Christ that takes us from unclean to clean by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, by the living waters. So, just like Christ stood before the Father in a white robe, we also, when we are changed to Spirit and partake of the marriage supper in the presence of God the Father, we have to be wearing white robes too, because just like I said, you cannot be in the presence of God the Father unless you're pure clean. And then in Revelation 19, 1 through 14, you can reference this. It says, we follow Christ on what? On white horses, clothes, and white robes, and white linen. And then in Zechariah 14:4, it says, Christ's feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Why there, brethren? Because that's where everything happened. He was arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, and he was crucified there, and that's where his feet will come back. So in verse 8, it says, and it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea, and half of them towards the western sea. Right there when Christ comes back, that's where the earth is going to be healed by his Holy Spirit, and mankind right there. So in conclusion, brethren, why a red heifer sacrifice? Because it foreshadows the death of our high priest, Jesus Christ, taking on the sins of the world and taking us from unclean to clean.